ಶಲಾಕಯ ಚಕ್ಷುರುನ್ಮೀಲಿತಂ ಯೇನ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಶ್ರೀಗುರವೇ ನಮಃ. ಶ್ರೀಚೈತನ್ಯಮನೋಭೀಷ್ಟಂ ಸ್ಥಾಪಿತಂ ಯೇನ ಭೂತಲೆ ಸ್ವಯಂ ರೂಪಕದಾ ಮಹ್ಯಂ ದದಾತಿ ಸ್ವಪದಾಂತಿಕಂ. ವಂದೇಹಂ ಶ್ರೀಗುರು ಶ್ರೀಯುತಪದಕಮಲಂ ಶ್ರೀಗುರೂನ್ ವೈಷ್ಣವಾಂಶ್ಚ ಶ್ರೀರೂಪಂ ಸಾಗ್ರಜಾತಂ ಸಹಗಣರಘುನಾಥಾನ್ವಿತಂ ತಂ ಸಜೀವಂ ಸಾದ್ವೈತಂ ಸಾವಧೂತಂ ಪರಿಜನಸಹಿತಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣಚೈತನ್ಯದೇವಂ ಶ್ರೀರಾಧಾಕೃಷ್ಣಪಾದಾಂ ಸಹಗಣಲಲಿತಾ ಶ್ರೀವಿಶಾಖಾನ್ವಿತಾಂಶ್ಚ. ನಮೋ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪ್ರೇಷ್ಠಾಯ ಭೂತಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮತೆ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತಸ್ವಾಮಿನಿತಿ ನಾಮಿನೇ. ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸಾರಸ್ವತೆ ದೇವೇ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಿಣೆ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶ ತಾರಿಣೆ ವಾಂಛಾಕಲ್ಪತರುಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾ ಸಿಂಧುಭ್ಯ ಏವ ಚ ಪತಿತಾನಾಂ ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ. ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ. ಗುಡ್ ಮಾರ್ನಿಂಗ್ ಟು ಆಲ್ ಆಫ್ ಯು. ಐ ಆಮ್ ವೆರಿ ಹ್ಯಾಪಿ ಟು ಬಿ ಇನ್ ಯುವರ್ ಮಿಡ್ಸ್ಟ್ ದಿಸ್ ಮಾರ್ನಿಂಗ್. ಐ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಬೀನ್ ಟು ಯುವರ್ ಇನ್ಸ್ಟಿಟ್ಯೂಷನ್ ಸೆವರಲ್ ಟೈಮ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಪಾಸ್ಟ್. ಇಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಆಲ್ವೇಸ್ ಬೀನ್ ಅ ಗ್ರೇಟ್ ಪ್ಲೆಜರ್ ಫಾರ್ ಮೀ ಟು ಡೂ ಸೋ, ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಐ ಆಮ್ ಹ್ಯಾಪಿ ಟು ಬಿ ಇನ್ ಯುವರ್ ಮಿಡ್ಸ್ಟ್ ಒನ್ಸ್ ಅಗೇನ್. ಆಲ್ದೋ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಕೋವಿಡ್ ಪ್ರಾಬ್ಲಮ್ ಐ ಆಮ್ ನಾಟ್ ಕಮಿಂಗ್ ದೇರ್ ಪರ್ಸನಲಿ ಟು ಬಿ ವಿತ್ ಯು, ಹೆನ್ಸ್ ದಿಸ್ ವರ್ಚುವಲ್ ಲೆಕ್ಚರ್. You are at the very important stage in your life. You have begun a very important phase of your medical career, which begins with your medical education. And now I believe you are undergoing the orientation program and you are learning or getting an introduction to various aspects of medicine and of the course that you are going to study. The topic that I was requested to speak on today is medicine and spirituality. Undoubtedly, you will be studying a lot about medical subjects in the course of your 5.5 years of MBBS, but there may not be much on spirituality. And since spirituality is such an important part of our life, it is important that when you are embarking on your graduate level education, that you should also have some understanding of the importance of this. So what I will do is, I have some slides, some PPTs with some matter for you. We will begin that. Okay. So our topic for today is medicine and spirituality. Actually, there is a very deep connection between the two topics. Somehow or the other, in today's day and age, this connection is not seen so much as it used to be earlier. Earlier, medicine used to be called the noble profession, and to a large degree it is still considered so. But unfortunately, the purity of the profession has declined a lot because everything has become a little more materialistic in the world around us. We see that earlier people used to take to the medical profession out of very noble ideals of wanting to serve humanity. So the spirit of service and caring was very much prominent in the minds of people when they took to this profession. Today the times have changed. Many students and their parents and the people in general, they look to medicine as a career, not so much for the opportunity to serve humanity and relieve suffering, but as a very glamorous profession, as something that is very prestigious, as something that can earn a lot of money. So money has become very, very important in the decision and the practice of medicine today. Money is, of course, important in life, undoubtedly. But when money becomes more important than it should be, then there is an imbalance. And in this whole process, what has happened is that now the medical profession in general, there are always many, many exceptions. There are many, many noble doctors everywhere in every institution. However, there are also those who give more importance to the materialistic aspect of medicine. And the serving and caring aspect of medicine has somewhat gone into the background. That needs to be brought out into the forefront again. I remember seeing a video, some video from America, in which one doctor was saying that actually our business is not to prevent disease. Our business is to cure disease. Now, this is a very fundamental difference between the modern approach to medicine and the traditional Indian approach to medicine, and we will see that shortly. So we have moved from caring to curing. And because the emphasis is only on caring and on curing, and because the technology that has come up now has given so many facilities, so more and more medical students, when they become doctors, they rely on diagnostic tools and equipment rather than on their own clinical skills of personally examining the patients. So then we have caring, which has become curing now, and we have clinical skills, which are now increasingly being outsourced to technology. So, what is medicine as a field, as a discipline? It is a science of keeping the body healthy. And it includes, number one, prevention of disease. Secondly, diagnosis and treatment. And thirdly, all related aspects. By all related aspects, I mean including knowledge about the various drugs or medicines to be given, how they are to be produced, and so many other aspects that are involved in the field of medicine. But primarily, these are the points that are included in the field of medicine. Now, as I mentioned a few moments ago, modern medicine focuses very greatly on diagnosis and treatment and not so much on prevention of disease. And another aspect, another point of difference between the modern Western approach to medical care and the traditional Indian approach to medical care is that the modern medical science deals only with the physical body. great advances have been made in modern medical science, undoubtedly. And we are able to cure many diseases, and many wonderful things can happen and have happened. However, modern medical science today, regardless of its advancement in taking care of the physical body, does not have any concept of anything beyond the physical body. The traditional Indian concept of medical care included the human being as a complete, integrated, holistic entity, which means the human being is much more than just the physical body. there is also something called the mind, the emotions, the intelligence, and above all, the soul. But somehow or the other, because of the methodology of modern science, and medical science in particular, modern medical science does not deal with all these things. Now, it is a fact that modern human needs are diverse, and they span the realms of physical, emotional, intellectual, spiritual fields. So, human beings cannot be happy if only one part is fulfilled. We have many needs, and all these needs must be fulfilled at least to a reasonable degree if we are all to be happy. Now, the question is, the physical happiness, or rather the happiness because of good health, is definitely very important. But if we only focus on the health of the physical body, or the well-being of the physical body, but we neglect the other aspects of our life, then how can we be happy? So medical science addresses only a part of our needs. Although this is a very important part, but it is not the whole. And therefore, definitely, we are looking at something much more than medical science. Therefore, for human happiness, we need to have other disciplines, of which spirituality is the most important. And it is necessary for a doctor to be aware of these other fields also. Because many times, and you will see this when your seniors and your teachers, your professors will tell you, and you will also experience it when you graduate and start treating patients, that the duty of a doctor is not only to just give medicines or perform surgery. There is the question of relating to the patient, of how you deal with the patients, of reducing the fear and anxiety of the patient, how to communicate properly to the patients and the relatives, and also to develop various other qualities like kindness, compassion. So there is a lot more to being a doctor than just simply having medical skills and knowledge. And a doctor must be well equipped with all these disciplines, the knowledge of all these disciplines, including leadership skills, human relationship skills, communication skills, and so on. And along with that, fundamentally, spirituality is also very important. So this brings us to the question, what is spirituality? Now, in very brief, of course, spirituality is a topic that the World Health Organization has also spoken about. The World Health Organization defines health not just as physical and mental health, but also as spiritual health now. A few decades ago, the word spiritual was also added to the definition of health by the WHO. So people all over the world are recognizing that spirituality is a very important dimension or element of our happiness and well-being. We cannot be truly happy unless our spiritual dimension is also satisfied. So naturally, because people have different ideas of what spiritual is, there are different definitions. However, I would like to give one which I believe will satisfy most people, which is a very broad and general definition. Spirituality involves understanding the following three things. First, what is one's identity? That is, who am I? Now, modern medical science tells us that we are the physical body. So modern medical science does not understand anything more than the brain and the nervous system and the various organs of the body. For example, when it comes to emotions, when it comes to experiences, modern medical science will explain it in terms of the physiology, the physiological processes, the electrochemical processes that may be happening in the brain. For example, the phenomenon of pain, which we all experience sometimes, is explained by medical science as the firing of certain neurons. So these kind of explanations, maybe they are correct at one level, but at a deeper level, there is another understanding which is very important to have. So if we consider ourselves only as the physical body made of the brain, the nervous system, the respiratory system, the circulatory system, and all the organs and systems put together, that is not sufficient to describe the human being. The human being is ultimately more than that. And great books like the Bhagavad Gita teach us that actually the human being is the spiritual entity, the Atma, and the body is like the vehicle. Just as you have the car and the driver. So the Atma is like the driver and the body is like the car. So the car is also very important because we utilize it to go from one place to another place. But we must have a clear understanding of who I am as a driver and what the car is. Now, the one who is repairing the car, who's an expert mechanic, may not be a doctor. We don't expect him to have the same knowledge of the driver's body and mind as a doctor will. But at least the mechanic must understand something basic about how to deal with the owner and the driver of the car. He must know who he is. Similarly, those who are designing the car must also understand how to secure the safety of the driver within the car. So similarly, the doctor who looks after the physical body must also understand the true spiritual identity. That is part of spirituality. Modern medicine does not have adequate understanding of the mind and emotions. The disciplines of psychology and psychiatry are not sufficiently developed to understand these ideas of identity because they have a very physical approach. So they have their benefits, certainly, and there are many instances where everybody can utilize them. But spirituality means to go deeper, to understand who am I. The second question that spirituality addresses is, what is true happiness? The general idea of happiness for people in the world is that we should have a lot of money, we should have some enjoyment, we should have a big house, we should have good clothes, good food, we should have some prestige in the society, and things of this sort. But happiness is much more than this, it is much deeper. Then ultimately, spirituality will address the question of what is life's ultimate goal? What are we here for in this world? Yes, medicine can help for us to get a healthy body. But then, a healthy body for what? What should we use this healthy body for? What is the perfection of the use of this healthy body? So this is an important question. So when people always think too much about this body, too much about this world, they neglect spiritual aspects of life, and they think more and more about money and this body and the comforts and luxuries, then they are said to be materialistic. So we must distinguish between materialism and spirituality. The two are opposite. So let us try to briefly understand what this is, because as doctors, you will be dealing with both aspects of life, the material as well as the spiritual. So what is materialism? Materialism means to be overly concerned with the physical body and its comforts and enjoyment. And in believing that enjoyment, money, and possessions are the most important things in life. So all over in the modern society, we see this propaganda very strongly everywhere. In the advertisements, in the cinema, in the newspaper, magazine, television. Also what the people around us are telling us, that your success is determined by how much money you make, by how much prestige and power and position you get in this world, by how big and grand a house you have, by how many cars you have, how much money you have, what kind of clothes you wear. So today, unfortunately, the society is moving in a direction of more and more materialism. Ye dil mange more, we want more and more and more. And we think that just by having more money, more enjoyment, all of these material facilities, that we will become happy. So, actually the fact of the matter is that in human history, nobody has become happy by being materialistic. Nobody is happy being materialistic now. And neither is it possible to be happy being materialistic in the future. So therefore, even though we have to be concerned about the body, we cannot disregard the body, we have to keep the body healthy. We also need a certain amount of comfort, we need a certain amount of enjoyment and money and possessions. All these things are there. But when we become excessively concerned with all these things, then we lose track of the goal of our life. And then we lose our happiness. Then what is spirituality? Spirituality essentially does not neglect the body. This is a very common misconception that people have, that if you are spiritual, then you will neglect your body, neglect your duties in the world, that you will not earn money anymore in life. That is not the fact. So spirituality does not neglect the body. It caters to the genuine needs of the body as much as required, but it emphasizes our higher spiritual nature and the need for realizing it. It points out that you are not just this body. You also have your spiritual side to you. It makes us think and act beyond just enjoyment and money and possessions. Spirituality gives us real purpose and happiness in life. Our Acharya Srila Prabhupada used to give the example of this old lady who had a parrot in a cage. The cage was made of pure gold. Now this elderly lady would every day clean the cage and polish it and take great care of the cage, but she neglected to feed the bird inside the cage. So naturally the bird became weaker and weaker and eventually died. So similarly, the cage represents our body and the soul is the bird within this body. So materialism tries to pamper the body and it neglects the needs of the soul. But spirituality takes care of both. It does not pamper the body. It gives the due care that is required for the healthy, happy situation of the body. But it also takes us to a higher way of thinking, a more refined way of thinking, and it gives us real purpose and happiness in life. So now the question may arise that is spirituality the same as religion? So what is the relationship between spirituality and religion? The answer is that yes, there is a very deep connection between spirituality and religion, but not all religion is always spiritual. So spirituality is the finest essence and the perfection of religion. It represents the core principles of religion. It gives us the higher purpose to religion. Sometimes we see that people don't understand what is the purpose of religion. They are religious by nature, but because they don't have a deep philosophical or a spiritual understanding of religion, they only look at religion as a means to fulfill their materialistic goals. So many people may pray to God, they may go to the temple or the church or the mosque or the gurdwara or any other place of worship, and they will ask for some material benefit, like please give us more money, please give me more of this, please give me a higher position, please give me this business contract. I like to tell this little joke many times about how there was one worshipper who went to Tirupati to Lord Balaji, and he struck a deal with him And he told him, if I get this business contract, then I will give you 50% of the profit that I make. So he struck a business contract with God. As it happened, he got half of what he was expecting. But nevertheless, he should have given half of what he got to God as per his promise. But he did not give. So Lord Balaji appeared to him in a dream and said, what happened? You were supposed to give me 50%. So he said, well, you already kept the 50% right in the beginning. The profit that I got was only 50% of what I was expecting. So in this way we see that many people look to religion only as a means to fulfill materialistic goals. They look to God, they look to spirituality only for making demands. I want this, I want more money, I want more enjoyment, I want a bigger house, I want a bigger car. But that is not what real religion is meant for. One must understand that true religion, or the essence of true religion, which is spirituality, is meant to take us beyond these materialistic goals. It will also recognize the practical reality that we need many things in this world to exist. It does not deny your genuine needs for existing in this world, but also it is meant to take us beyond this world, to take us to a higher platform of thinking. So in practical terms, spirituality means understanding spiritual knowledge. Number one, just like the first step in being a doctor means that you have to understand your anatomy, your physiology. You must understand all these basic fields of knowledge. You must have the theoretical understanding. Before you start practicing medicine, you must actually have the theoretical understanding. So that goes for any branch of knowledge. So also in spirituality, we must understand what is spiritual knowledge from the great books of spiritual knowledge. Second, there are certain spiritual practices that we must perform, like the chanting of the names of God, worship, etc. It is not a matter of being a Hindu or a Muslim or Christian, Jain, Sikh, Buddhist, etc. No. Whatever be your particular faith that you have, you can perform practices according to that. But you must remember to try to focus on the spiritual essence of those practices. And finally, spirituality must manifest. It must be exhibited in your personality, in your speech, in your behavior, in your habits, in your lifestyle, in how you deal with others, which means that as a spiritual person, you must develop qualities like kindness, humility, forgiveness, freedom from greed, anger, and freedom from other bad habits. So now that we have discussed spirituality in brief, now let us see what is the connection between medicine and spirituality. Because after all, our topic for today is medicine and spirituality. Briefly, in the beginning, I defined what is medicine, the field of medicine. I also tried to briefly describe what is spirituality. Of course, time does not permit us to go into detail. But now, as far as the connection between medicine and spirituality is concerned, let us look at what our ancient Indian knowledge teaches us about this. In the ancient books of Ayurveda, from great acharyas like Charak, from Sushruta, Vagbhatta, etc., we learn much about the ethics of the medical profession, about the spiritual dimension to it, about the qualifications of the doctor, etc. So let us try to see, before we actually establish the link between medicine and spirituality, let us have a brief background about the four factors for successful treatment according to Charaka. The four factors are doctor, the medicines, the medical attendants, and the patient. Actually, the patient is considered the last. although the doctor exists for the sake of the patient, all three exist for the sake of the patient. But if there is a patient, but the first three are not there, then the patient will not be successfully treated. Of these four, the doctor is the most important. Even with or without medicines, with or without medical attendance, the doctor plays the most important role. Of course, the medicines must be there and the medical attendance must also be there. Now, the ancient knowledge gives us qualifications for all these four. Even a patient must have some qualifications. As the very word indicates, the patient must be patient. Generally, you will see that patients are impatient. They want to become cured very quickly. They want to become cured without following the instructions of the doctor. And even if they irregularly follow the instructions, still they complain that they are not cured properly and timely. So all these four must have qualifications. Let us briefly consider only about the doctor, because you are all eventually going to become doctors. So it is a big subject actually, and we will cover only a few important points. The qualities of a good doctor are, number one, that he or she must have detailed knowledge of diseases and treatment. He or she must have extensive practical experience, and there must be practical skill also in terms of diseases and treatment and surgery and so on. So these three are common sense which anybody can understand. But a fourth point is mentioned here, which is also very important, that a good doctor must have purity of body and mind. Now this is a very important statement. Purity of body, one can understand that the body should be clean, body should be healthy. Physician, heal thyself, it is said. So the purity of the body also one can understand. But what about the purity of the mind? That is also very important. Which means that one has to come to some spiritual level to have a very pure mind. Let us consider some other qualities, important qualities of a doctor. The doctor must be somewhat courageous, little bold, intelligent to manage critical situations, and very importantly must be endowed with moral virtues. Today it has become a kind of a principle, whether in the teaching profession or the medical profession or in any other profession, that we try to separate the skills, the professional skills of a person, from that person's character or morals. But actually, according to ancient Indian teachings, we cannot separate the two. So if a doctor, for example, has medical or surgical skills but does not have moral virtues, then our ancient culture, Indian knowledge, will not consider that doctor a very good doctor. So it is not enough to just have moral virtues, you must also have medical skills. Otherwise, how can you be a good doctor? How can you treat your patient? So along with all the previously mentioned qualities, having the moral virtues is very important. The doctor must have good speech, must know how to speak pleasingly, how to speak correctly, how to speak eloquently, how to convey whatever is required in few words. The doctor must be truthful, must be humble. You see, when you become doctors, you will see that many patients will come to you and they will be always very grateful to you when you treat them. And if you treat them and they become all right from a very dangerous disease, then they will also sometimes praise you a lot. There are many patients who will go and call their doctors as God and so on. So it is very easy to become proud. So it is very important that the doctor must remain humble and realize that actually I am not the curer. I am only an instrument in the hands of God. There is a Sanskrit proverb which says, Vaidyo Narayana Harihi, which means that the ultimate Vaidya or the doctor is God Himself. And the doctor, the attendants, even the medicines are instruments. And somehow if the grace of God, the mercy of God is not there, that then even a healthy patient may not remain healthy and may get sick. Even a patient with a mild problem may develop a major problem. And if God's mercy is there, then a very serious patient may be treated successfully and come back to normal health. So when the doctor is treating the patient, he or she must be always aware that I am an instrument in the hands of God. And therefore I should try to perform that function with as much sincerity, as much humility as possible. When one sees oneself like that, automatically one becomes empowered by some spiritual power. And that spiritual power and spiritual intelligence will further facilitate the healing of the patient. So the doctor must be friendly to patients. At the same time, the doctor must also be very practical and know how much distance to keep also from the patients. So there are many, many such qualities that are listed. Time does not permit us to list out all of them. And what our ancient Indian knowledge says about the role of the doctor is as follows, in brief. The role of the doctor is much more than the mere treatment of diseases. Although this is very, very important, it is not the only thing that a doctor is supposed to do. This is the reason why patients come to doctors, undoubtedly. Because if somebody is not sick, that person will not go to a doctor. But our ancient sages have said that the doctor must go beyond simply curing diseases. He must help an individual reach the ultimate spiritual goal of self-realization, which is not possible without healthy body and mind. Self-realization, that means spiritual development. So the doctor must also assist or facilitate in the spiritual development of the patient. Now, this is not something that is there in the modern medical curricula, but we must combine the best of the modern wisdom with our traditional wisdom. We should not reject either. We should not reject something merely because it is modern, and we should not reject something merely because it is ancient. We should take the best of both and combine them. So when the doctor can act as an agent for not only curing diseases but also in facilitating the spiritual development of the patient and those connected to the patient, then the doctor is actually performing his or her function. Furthermore, the sages have said that the doctor must be well versed with philosophical topics, not only with the medical literature and knowledge. And the doctor must himself or herself try to go beyond the physical body and connect to spiritual life deeply in his or her own life and also the patient. Connect to the spiritual aspect of the patient. And because the doctor is expected to be spiritual, therefore he or she must lead a life of integrity and simplicity without greed. There is no harm in having facilities. There is no harm in becoming wealthy also. But one must be free from greed. One must not try to lead a flashy life just to show off one's wealth. One must not be in the mood of trying to simply enjoy. We must remember that the doctor is a very noble profession. And therefore, the sages have said that the goal of a doctor is not only to fulfill selfish purposes. What are those selfish purposes? For fulfill worldly desires and gains, to get more money, to get a bigger house, to get this, and that, and more of all these things. I meet so many students and doctors, and I hear about so many from others who are connected to the devotee, to all of us here. And we see that today the consciousness everywhere is how to make more money, even through the medical profession. Unfortunately, that has been the situation today. First of all, medical education has become the way it is, so much money oriented. And then after that, when you go outside the college, then you need so much money to buy equipment, to get a clinic. And then people think of medicine as a business rather than as a noble profession. They think in terms of recovering money. I remember the other day I met somebody who had just passed out as a doctor, and his father was looking out for a girl for him to get married. And so when various proposals came for the marriage, so the father's, this was the son who was telling me, the son did not agree with the father. The son was spiritually inclined, the father was not. So the son was telling us that his father was looking for a girl and thinking of getting money to recover all the money he had spent for his son's medical education, the donations and everything. Not only for the MBBS, but also for the postgraduate. So he said, I've spent so much money and I need to have this money. And then he said, I will set up a hospital for you. And then in that hospital, we will do this and we will do that and recover money. And he saw that only as a business proposition. He did not have any concept that we have to do this profession for the sake of helping others. So unfortunately, everywhere today, our atmosphere has become so materialistic. So the goal of a doctor is for the sake of helping others, to get relieved from suffering. So medicine is a noble profession meant for the welfare of the patient and not for making money or for glamour and prestige. Although, as I said earlier, certainly every doctor is entitled to receiving adequate remuneration, to having decent amount of money, to have a decent standard of living, to have certainly some amount of prestige and respect in the society. Certainly, these are very legitimate things that a doctor can look forward to. But if we lose that nobility of the medical profession, if we look at this medical profession not in terms of how you can care for others, relieve them of suffering, of how you can serve others, if you look at it only as a means to just get money and become glamorous and prestigious, then that is not the true spirit of the medical profession. So, when we are spiritual, we must also remember that the practical application of the spirituality in our profession will reflect in the degree to which we are materialistic. So spirituality is not against money, but spirituality is against blind greed. Spirituality is against giving over emphasis to the material things of life, to the neglect of our spiritual development. So, as a doctor, you should balance your material and spiritual needs. Actually, there is a lot that our sages have said about the requirements for a medical student. Just as today, we have medical tests, NEET and so on, by which you can enter a medical college. You have to have certain number of marks and so on. So in the ancient days in India, there were not exams of this kind, but the criteria on which a particular youth was selected as a medical student were quite illuminating. Apart from the intellectual ability and the academic ability of the student and the hard-working nature of the student, the teacher tested for the character, the morality of the student. That was very, very important. And the teachers would see whether this student is addicted to bad habits or not, drinking and various other sorts of vices. So if the student was addicted to those kind of vices, that student was not admitted to the medical studies. And as doctors, actually, in the ancient times, the doctors, they lived like sages. They were very noble-hearted, self-sacrificing individuals. So because they were trained so rigorously, not only in medical science, but also in spirituality, also in the development of character, therefore, when they became doctors, they carried that spirit forward. So there is a great need in our country today and in the world for restoring this spiritual and caring dimension to the medical profession. As I said earlier, there are many, many noble doctors even today in every institution and in every city. However, unfortunately, there are also many who are not so noble. So what we need today is newer generations of medical students who will understand the importance of spirituality in medicine, who will understand the importance of the spirit of service, so that the profession of medicine will be restored to its exalted status once again. And I will conclude with this famous shloka from one of our Upanishads. Sarve bhavantu sukhinah, sarve santu niramayah, sarve bhadrani pasyantu, ma kaschit dukkha bhag bhavet. Om shanti 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 hi. Sarve bhavantu sukhinah, which means let everybody be happy. Sarve santu niramayah, let everybody become free from disease. Sarve bhadrani pasyantu, let everybody see only that which is auspicious for our well-being and for our overall development. Ma kaschit dukkha bhag bhavet, may nobody experience suffering. Om shanti 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 hi, let there be peace upon everyone. So I will end my talk here. Thank you. So I'm very happy. Thank you all very much for your patient attention. The doctor also has to be patient. No, it is not only the patient who has to be patient. So thank you very much. I don't know if we have any time for questions. One or two questions maybe. I don't know how you will communicate the questions. There is a mic,
chips.
Okay.
Chips are being passed.
Okay. I can't hear. Increase the volume. Writing. I'm sorry, I could not hear the question properly. Can somebody repeat that question for me? No, somebody else near the mic at this side. Or if somebody can just type it, I don't know if there is a facility here.
They can type it to me. Hmm? Devendra can type it to me.
Okay.
The volunteer can type it.
Yes. Yes. Okay, thank you for a question. Your question, if I understand you right, is that you have started reading Bhagavad Gita, but you are not able to understand, and how do you read it alongside your medical studies? Is that the question? I see. Okay. Okay, so the question is that you have a very hectic schedule in your medical college. So how can you implement the spiritual teachings of Bhagavad Gita in the midst of this busy life? Well, one has to find time. It is called time management. Because in life you will always find yourself busy. So you have to allocate the proper time to the proper activities. So do the right thing at the right time. When it is the time to attend your class, attend the class. When it is time to read your studies, your books, read them. When it is time to sleep, sleep. Time to eat, eat. Similarly, if you chart out your daily life, your 24 hours properly, then you will be able to create a certain amount of your time for your spiritual practices and study as well. You can allocate as much time as is realistically possible for you. One very helpful tip that I can give, which will be very helpful to you even for your medical studies, is to go to bed early at night and wake up early. I know this is a very unpopular advice, especially in the modern day, but you try it. Try to sleep early at night, wake up early in the morning, and after you have taken your bath, then you do some spiritual reading, some spiritual practices, and then you do your medical studies as well. You will find that what you read, what you study, you can absorb much better when it is done early in the morning, when your mind is fresh. So in this way, you will be able to take out time for your spiritual activities without in any way neglecting your medical studies.
Question, Maharaj.
Okay, there is another question which has come from WhatsApp, yes? Okay. Okay, the question here is a very honest question. How are we supposed to be not inclined towards materialistic approach after spending lakhs
getting trained to spend lakhs of
yeah.
rupees?
So the question they are asking is that we have spent lakhs of rupees to get the medical training, so how do you expect us to not be materialistic? So thank you for this very frank and important question. Just because one has spent a certain amount of money, it does not mean that one should take recourse to unethical means to recover that money. One should serve as a doctor faithfully, and there will be ample scope for earning. the money will come according to your destiny. If you work intelligently, work hard, work sincerely, then automatically everything will come. This is a matter of developing spiritual knowledge. You do not have to become materialistic. As I mentioned earlier, being spiritual does not mean that you will not earn money. It does not mean that you cannot have your house and your family and look after them and have a decent standard of living. What it does mean is that you should not be excessively concerned. So when we speak of materialistic, what we mean is that you don't do it as a material calculation. I spend X amount of money, now I will recover 10X. So I will do whatever it takes to recover that money. And that is a root of many unethical practices in medicine today. So in India, unfortunately, we see in many, many places, the doctors are also pressurized, and sometimes they voluntarily also do it. Not everybody, but quite a few doctors do that. There is unindicated diagnostics. Even when it is not required, they are sent for so many tests. And I know of so many cases where unindicated surgeries have been done. When it is not really required, it is done. So what I am saying is you should avoid these things. Work hard, work honestly, and you will get the money. The money will come, but don't resort to unethical means. Don't become a victim of greed. Don't cheat others, don't exploit others. If you are in a mood of serving your patient and you do your job well and you are a good doctor, then whatever is in store for you in your destiny will come to you. You may think that to recover this money I have to cheat this person, I have to take this commission, I have to take that cut, I have to do this. No, you don't have to do that. Lead a life of good ethics in terms of your profession, and everything auspicious will follow. So don't worry about this, I assure you. You will get much more happiness leading your life like this than living a life of greed where you constantly strive for more and more and more money. You will not be able to sleep at night peacefully knowing that you have exploited so many people, and many of these people are not very wealthy. So you have actually caused them so much pain. So don't worry about this, just work honestly and you will be fine. Okay, another question has come on WhatsApp. Is it possible for a person to be spiritual but not religious? Because for me, being spiritual is a part of building the personality and serving the people around us. Okay, good question. As I mentioned earlier, spirituality is the core of true religion. It is the essence of religion. So, in spirituality, we ask the questions: who am I? What is true happiness? And what is the goal of your life? Without taking to religion or religious, some aspect of religious belief, it would be hard to answer all these three questions. Otherwise, without that understanding that I am the spirit soul, I am the Atma who is eternal, I am not this body which is temporary. So because I, the Atma, am eternal, my goal of life has to be something beyond this body. So long as my knowledge of myself is limited to this body, the goal of my life will also be limited only to the body. Therefore, that is not the perfection of spirituality. So therefore, one must have some degree of religious belief. But one must understand the true spiritual core values of religion. Not simply become materialistically religious. And I gave examples of that earlier. Nowadays there are many people who follow this, spiritual but not religious. It is called SBNR. But to be truly spiritual, one must have some degree of religious understanding and rise above the materialistic understanding of religion to the spiritual understanding of religion. Then you can harmonize this. Okay, next question on WhatsApp. If I ask for 1 crore rupees through prayer and spirituality, will I get it? My point is, don't ask. That was the whole point I was trying to make. That today people are looking at religion simply as a vehicle for making demands. I want 1 crore rupees. I want 10,000 rupees. I want this much. I want this. But that is not the true purpose of religion. So when I speak of religion, I'm not speaking of this type of materialistic religion. I'm speaking of spiritual religion, where you gain true spiritual understanding and you rise above all this level of simply asking for more and more money and so on. If you take to religion only for the sake of fulfilling your material desires, you will not gain any happiness. But when you take to genuine spirituality, understand how you can develop your relationship with God in love, then you will experience true happiness. So I think you have your next class also. So, but anyway, there is a final question. How do we recognize that a patient is in need of spiritual practices? Again, a good question. All of you, thank you for all the good questions you are all asking. Well, actually, everybody is in need of spiritual life. Our Acharya Srila Prabhupada used to say, everybody needs this, but some people know it, some people don't know it. But of course, you cannot force somebody who does not want it. So therefore, if somebody is inclined, you can guide them, because the patient gives a lot of weightage to the words of the doctor. So if you advise them to give up bad habits, to lead a proper, simple life, and according to whatever religion he or she belongs to, tell them to lead a very virtuous life. And if they're interested in knowing more, that's another. You can send them to whoever knows more on these topics. So you cannot impose your views upon a patient. That is also will not be permitted by your medical ethics of the medical council. So you can, if they're inclined, you assist them through your service, through the way you behave, through the way you treat the patient. You will automatically bring that patient to a higher level. Not necessarily only by giving some spiritual instructions. So I think we will stop here. When is the next class? So can you let me know when your next class is starting? I do not want to take time from the next lecture. Okay, so okay. Thank you very much to all of you, the faculty as well as the students of JNMC. Hare Krishna.